From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. The Nigerian man who was formally charged today with trying to blow up a jetliner bound for Detroit on Christmas has reportedly told investigators he got the explosive chemicals he carried from an Al-Qaeda operative in Yemen. The New York Times quotes a senior administration official as saying Omar Farouk Abdulmutallab came to the attention of authorities in the U.S. a few weeks ago after his father, a prominent banker, notified them his son was becoming a militant Muslim. The criminal charges were read to Abdulmutallab during a hearing at the hospital where he's being treated for burns sustained in the failed attack. Michigan Radio's Sarah Swick reports.
The federal criminal complaint says Abdulmutallab ignited a device attached to his leg before being subdued by passengers and flight crew. FBI preliminary analysis shows the device contained a high explosive. Abdulmutallab was burned by a resulting fire and sent to the University of Michigan Medical Center for treatment. He was arraigned there on Saturday. The FBI and other federal law enforcement agencies continue to investigate the attack and Abdulmutallab, who claimed to be acting on behalf of Al-Qaeda. For NPR News, I'm Sarah Swick in Detroit.
Security has been stepped up at the nation's airports following the failed bomb attack. American Airlines is telling its passengers carry-on bags will be re-screened at the gate before boarding. International air carriers are also tightening restrictions on passengers headed to the U.S. Air Canada is barring passengers from having anything on their laps or accessing their carry-on bags during the last hour of any flight. Police and anti-government demonstrators reportedly clashed in Tehran today. Unrest has been building in Iran in advance of a religious holiday tomorrow. NPR's Deborah Amos has more from Istanbul.
The pictures of protests from Tehran reach outside the country by cell phone photographers circulated by reformist websites. The dissidents report at least three clashes in the center of the capital, some reports of gunshots, police smashing windshields of drivers who honk support for the anti-government gatherings. Government-controlled news agencies dispute these details, blame the foreign media for exaggerating, while banning all outside media from reporting from the streets. Tensions have been rising since the death a week ago of Ayatollah Hossein Ali Montazeri, a maverick cleric who had become a spiritual symbol for the opposition. The public mourning for the renowned cleric comes during the emotionally charged celebration of Ashura, a Shiite religious festival that is often a time of political protests. Deborah Amos, NPR News, Istanbul.
Salvage crews in Alaska have finished transferring thousands of gallons of diesel fuel from a stricken tugboat. The tug crashed Wednesday against the same Alaskan reef that damaged the Exxon Valdez tanker 20 years ago. Efforts to remove the fuel were slowed yesterday when a mile-long diesel sheen spread across Prince William Sound. This is NPR News. A series of attacks against Shiite pilgrims in eastern Baghdad today has killed five people in the latest round of violence targeting worshippers in Iraq. Militants have killed dozens of Shiites this week and wounded more than 100 in an attempt to reignite sectarian violence there. A suspected U.S. missile strike killed three people and wounded two others in a tribal region of northwest Pakistan. The area targeted is used by militants from two major factions that are battling U.S. and NATO forces in Afghanistan. 5 years ago today, a devastating tsunami tore across Asia, killing 230,000 people. Survivors gathered in Indonesia today to remember those who died in the tragedy. Chad Bouchard reports from Banda Aceh.
Thousands of survivors from the devastating 2004 tsunami gathered at mass gravesites and mosques to pray together and remember lost loved ones. In the provincial capital of Banda Aceh, Karyadi, a survivor whose brother died in the disaster, said he only recently began to suffer from signs of severe emotional trauma. He worked for 4 years for a non-governmental organization, but he said now that he's unemployed, the haunting memories are harder to tame. Most aid groups have wrapped up their work here, and the region must now survive on a much smaller economy. Before the tsunami struck, Aceh had been battered by 3 decades of separatist conflict. The disaster sparked a peace deal in 2005, though some provisions have not been met and there have been signs of renewed violence. For NPR News, I'm Chad Bouchard in Banda Aceh, Indonesia.
Weather conditions are beginning to improve across much of the nation's midsection, but blowing and drifting snow cause more travel problems today. Hundreds of flights into and out of Chicago's busy O'Hare Airport were canceled or delayed. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.